Today on Know the Truth from Philip DeCourcy.
Christians are people who are fundamentally sound. In disagreeable circumstances or in the fight of our lives, the child of God can live each and every day in the assurance that they're safe and sound in God's keeping. In the midst of crisis, God doesn't change.
In times of crisis, the Book of Psalms helps us to recall the goodness of the Lord. That's a sure way to regain a perspective of trust, no matter what we're living through. And today on Know the Truth, Philip DeCourcy takes us to Psalm 16 to show us that recalling God's goodness is transformational. We're continuing a study that examines the Psalms of Trust, a message titled Safe and Sound. Philip is helping us shift our focus from our troubles to God's goodness and grace. If you missed the first few segments of this message, visit ktt.org. Now, here's Phil.
So as we come to look at this psalm, what are the means of grace that will allow you and me to express an expanding trust in God like David? Here's the first thing. Number one, God's provision. One of the great means of grace in the expression of trust is an unshakable assurance in God's sufficient and steadfast goodness toward us. All good and perfect gifts come from above. David's acknowledging that, isn't he? That any good that I know comes from you. My well-being is dependent upon you. David's acknowledging that God is the source of all good. It's all from God's good hand. God is disposed to be a blessing and a bounty to his creation. So David's trust in God, which he expresses as a lifestyle choice, as an ongoing daily experience. It's fed by this thought that the God I trust is good. So here's my thought as we close this thought. Recognizing, recounting, and relishing God's goodness is a necessary discipline in the exercise of faith. Here's what you ought to be doing. As you have a little bit more time in your hands, I encourage you to sit around the table as families and recount the goodness of God. Turn the pages of your life. Many dangers, toils, and snares. Through it all, you have already come, and grace that has brought you safe this far is grace that will carry you home. Recount the goodness of God, where he has healed a sickness, met a need, delivered you from evil, answered a prayer, shown himself to be strong. Do it because as you feed your soul in the unbending, unending goodness of God, your faith will get stronger. Let's move on. God's people. Those who delight in God's provision also delight in God's people as a provision. Look at verse 3. As for saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. Here's another means of grace by which you and I can express an expanding trust in God. We can draw strength from God's people. We can huddle. We can exercise the one another's. Now, that's a wonderful thing. It's a means of grace to help you express a greater trust as you talk to one another, as you encourage one another, as you point one another to God as the source of life. Living side by side, we grow together in love, faith, and hope. Two is better than one, right? Ecclesiastes 4, 9 to 12. It's a simple point, but it's a good thought. David may even be speaking here as a king. And as a king, he finds his security and he finds his confidence not only in God, but in God's people who are looking to God themselves. They are a shoulder to lean on. The mighty warriors of Israel, the saintly saints of Israel have come alongside David and encouraged him. Spending time with the faith community deepened the king's faith in God. Let me just draw a contrast. Look at verse 4. Under this thought of God's people, we've looked at God's provision, verse 2. We're looking at God's people, verse 3. But look at verse 4. Having talked about the saints of God, the excellent ones in whom David delights. David is drawing a contrast between the godly and the ungodly. Notice what he says. Their sorrows will multiply. So as David looks out on life, there are those who are happy and content and restful and joyful, and there are those whose sorrows are multiplying, and those whose sorrows are multiplying are those who have indeed put their trust in a false god. And so the psalmist is saying, you know what? Their sorrows will be multiplied because they're trusting in a god who can't be trusted. Is that what you're experiencing? What you believe isn't helping you at a time like this? Because you don't have a biblical worldview. You don't have a Savior and Lord so glorious as the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have the promises and assurances of God's word. You don't have a sovereign God who's not a marshmallow, but who's working all things after the counsel of his own will. Let's move on. God's providence. Notice verse 5 and 6. O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. Here's another means of grace in the expression of trust. God has governed and settled the circumstances of our lives as he did with David in amazing ways. There are no accidents, only appointments. I was rereading a wonderful sermon this week by Thomas Watson, the Puritan, in his book, The Body of Divinity. He says this, "Let the merciful providence of God cause thankfulness. That we are in health, that we have an estate, is not our diligence, but God's providence. Thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that gives thee power to get wealth." Deuteronomy 8:18. Especially if you go a step further, we may see cause for thankfulness that we were born and bred in a gospel land, and that we live in such a place where the sun of righteousness shines, which is a signal providence. Why might we not have been born in such places where paganism prevails? That Christ should make himself known to us and touch our hearts with his spirit when he passes over others? Whence is this but from the miraculous providence of God and free grace? That's something to chew on today. Have the lines not fallen onto you in pleasant places, young man, being born into a Christian home? Have the lines not fallen onto us in pleasant places with the freedoms and blessings and luxuries that adorn life in the United States, perhaps stuff we have got used to and we haven't acknowledged our Creator? Oh, the lines have fallen onto us in pleasant places, and it feeds our faith. It feeds our faith. When we find God, when our circumstances find us in God, we will find God in our circumstances. Here's the thought. I'm not going to spend a lot of time in this for the sake of time, but I want you to notice verse 7. I will bless the Lord who has given me instruction. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. Here's another means of grace that you and I can express trust as a lifestyle choice. It's counsel from God's word. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. If you go to Psalm 107, verse 11, Psalm 119:24, counsel is often used synonymously with the idea of God's word. Think about this. The truths, promises, and instruction of God's word have a way of fortifying our faith and expanding our trust. We know that from Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Here's another means of grace. Well, the doors to your home may be shut and you and I are sheltering in place. Open the book. Dave Doyle told us the other night, we need a bigger Bibles. We need more expansive understanding of God's word so that we can frame this within the mystery of God's providence and the surprise of his sovereignty. Read your Bible and let your Bible read you. Take its promises. Heed its commands. Trace its truths. Because in the time of crisis, here's the question. Who are you listening to? Are you listening to your fears? Are you listening to your spiritual enemies? Are you listening to the loudest voices in our culture? Are you listening to 24/7 cable news? Are you listening to panicky and fearful saints? Or let me ask you this, are you listening to God, who speaks through his Spirit and his word? The Spirit has written the word, and he will speak through the word. Are you allowing God to give you counsel in the night seasons? David was enrolled in the night school. I think we've all been enrolled in night school. We've lay on our beds. We're thinking through our lives. We're dealing with fears and doubts and questions. Let the word of God counsel you. And if we do that during the night, we'll be ready for the morning. That's what our text is encouraging us to do here, to give deep thought to the ways and will of God as revealed in his word. Dawson Troutman, founder of the Navigators, believed the last prevailing thought in one's conscious mind before going to bed should be a portion of God's word. So if someone was visiting in his home, towards the end of the conversation, as the night closed, he would often say this, his word, the last word. In fact, he would often say just HWLW. Then he would get the Bible, he would read a portion of God's word to his friends, he would dismiss them, and then he would go to bed. And he would take counsel from that word in the night seasons, the night school, where God educates our souls to be still and know that he is God. God's presence, verse 8, I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Let me just address that briefly. We've kind of addressed throughout this God's presence in his goodness and in his government. But I love this phrase, and I think it's just worth thinking about for a few moments. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. This is another means of grace, practicing the presence of God, acting and believing that God is with us and for us. He's at our right hand. And the right side of the warrior was the exposed part. Think about that. The soldier held his shield in the left hand. He had a sword in his right hand. His left side was guarded. His right side was the more exposed side. And that's the imagery here. God is at our right hand. And if you were to put it in modern idiom, God's got our back. Beautiful. And you need to have that thought foremost in your mind. You need to bring every thought into captivity. God will keep them in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. We allow the counsel of God's word to speak to us, and it speaks the fact that he will never leave us or forsake us. And we need to set the Lord always before us. It speaks of focus. It speaks of thinking about the Lord before anything else. It speaks about seeing everything in the light of his promised presence. But maybe this is a weak analogy, but I think it's a decent analogy. I'm sure, like me, you have pictures of loved ones on your desk at work, or if you've got a home office, or you've got pictures of your loved ones somewhere about your home, or you've got pictures and postcards of missionaries you've got on your fridge door. Why do we set those pictures in front of us? Because we want to remember these folks. We're thankful, perhaps, for their love. We want to remember they're special and valuable to us. We set them before us all the times because we don't want to forget. And I think that's the imagery. David says, I've set the Lord always before me. I constantly remind myself and bring mental pictures of God up and the promises of his word and the instruction and counsel of his law. Hudson Taylor said this, it doesn't matter how great the pressure is, what really matters is where the pressure lies, whether it comes between you and God or whether it presses you nearer to his heart. For David, the pressure lay with God and the near presence of God in his life. As we wrap this up, finally, verses 9 through 11, we'll kind of collapse them together here, make a large point. God's promise, another means of grace. God's promise. This is how you can express trust in trying times. You can do it because you've got a glorious future, a glorious future that's beyond death, that promises the joys of heaven. Therefore, my heart is glad, my glory rejoices, my flesh also will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Sheol, you'll not allow your Holy One to see corruption, you will show me the path of life, in your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. David's whole being, his heart, glory, flesh, and soul, is infused with the excitement at the prospect of life in heaven in the presence of God. we've seen, if you're to put it all together, as David wraps up and we wrap up, God is David's portion in life. Now he talks about the fact that God is David's deliverance in death, and the fact that God is David's surpassing joy after life. That's beautiful. He talks here about the hope he's resting in, the promise, expectation he has. It's founded on two things: deliverance from death. God is not going to abandon me in the grave or in the realm of death. Death will not write the last chapter in my life. You will not allow your Holy One to see corruption. You'll show me the path of life and in your presence fullness of joy. So there's deliverance from death, and there's the promise of fullness of life beyond the grave. It's beautiful. And it's the gospel, isn't it? In fact, David may be speaking of things here he's not aware of, because it's interesting, when you go to the New Testament, Peter in Acts 2, 25 to 28, and Paul in Acts 13 to 35, attribute this verse to the Lord Jesus Christ. That while he died for our sins, according to the scriptures, on the third day he rose again, according to the scriptures, God did not abandon him to death. The Holy One, the glorious One, the Lord Jesus Christ, did not see corruption. Death could not hold him. Death was the last enemy, the thing we feared most, but it was conquered by Jesus Christ. And in his death and in his resurrection, we have the death of death and the promise of life after life. And David got an inkling of that. We have a fuller understanding of that. And so here's the promise. We have an enduring hope. In the midst of this unfolding crisis, we have an enduring hope that will see us through every iteration of it, every version of it, every twist and turn. God does not save his people. God does not guide them through life. God does not meet their needs day by day. God does not protect them along the way, which we've seen throughout this psalm, to abandon us to the grave. Nothing will separate us from his love. Neither life nor death nor things to come. We're going to be in his presence someday where there's pleasures forevermore. The best is yet to come. In his book, Fearless, which I've quoted, Max Lucado tells the story of James Stockdale. He was a prisoner of war during the Vietnam era, spent 8 years in a Vietnamese prison camp. And after he was released, he was asked the secret of surviving 8 years in a prisoner of war camp. Here's what he said: I never lost faith in the end of the story. I never doubted not only that I would get out, but I would prevail in the end and turn the experience into the defining event of my life, which in retrospect I would not trade. And then Collins asked him, who didn't get out? Here's what he said: oh, that's easy, the optimists. They were the ones who said, we're going to be out by Christmas, and Christmas would come and Christmas would go. Then they said, we're going to be out by Easter, and Easter would come and Easter would go. Then we're going to be out by Thanksgiving, and Thanksgiving would come and go, and it was Christmas again, and they died of a broken heart. I love these words by Max Lucado. They're the close of this sermon. Real courage embraces the twin realities of a current difficulty and an ultimate triumph. Yes, life stinks, but it won't forever. As one of my friends likes to say, everything will work out in the end. If it's not working out, it's not the end. We're safe and sound. We're fundamentally sound as God's people. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for our time in the Word this morning. We thank you for this rich vein of Scripture, another psalm of trust that steadies our faith. We're not sure what lies beyond tomorrow. And so we're in a time when nerves are jangled and hearts are fearful. But we thank you we have been encouraged to put our faith in God, to make this the operating principle of our life, a lifestyle choice. Lord, preserve me, because I've put my trust in you. And I know you can be trusted because your goodness and mercy have followed me all the days of my life. I thank you, you can be trusted because I've heard the stories of your saints. I once was young, but now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed begging bread. Well, thank you for the encouragement of your providence, that you're always working out your will. You're not in an emergency. Thank you for your precepts and your promises that counsel us, your presence that never fails us, and the fact that someday all of this will be behind us. You will not abandon us to the grave, and we'll be in your presence where there's pleasures forevermore. Lord, this is our joy. This is our focus. For those this morning whose sorrow is being multiplied because they have put their trust where trust cannot be given, we pray that they'd turn to Jesus Christ, that they'd trust him with their lives, with their sin, with their soul, with their future. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Sound encouragement to anchor our faith in the goodness of God. You're listening to Philip DeCourcy here on Know the Truth, and today's message is titled Safe and Sound. You can hear the complete unedited message when you visit ktt.org or download the KTT app. Well, Philip, today you encourage us to take some time to recall God's goodness in our lives, because at Know the Truth, it is our mission to always point men and women to the goodness and grace of God available in Jesus Christ.
That's right, Wayne. Know the Truth exists to share the gospel with the world in need of truth through the preaching of the Word of God, so that believers are, one, encouraged daily in their faith to learn and live biblically, so that, two, they're equipped to serve their local church and community, and so that, three, they become engaged in sharing the gospel everywhere as they go. Through expositional preaching and teaching, Know the Truth provides pastoral and theological content that is bold, clear, and convicting. And we remain committed to standing firm for Christ and on the unchanging truth of his word. It's God's word that transforms lives. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's why it's our goal to provide people of all ages and all stages of life the opportunity to read, listen, and watch biblical teaching for free through daily broadcasts, podcasts, streaming channels, published resources, social media, conferences, and more. But we can't do it without you, our listeners. It's your listening, sharing, and giving that keeps Know the Truth on air and sharing the gospel with thousands of listeners each day. So we hope you'll continue to listen each day, and you'll also join us on this venture, even adventure, of helping others know the truth. Wayne, could you tell them how they can get further involved?
Sure, I'd be glad to. The best way to get involved in the ministry work at Know the Truth is by becoming one of our Truth Ambassadors. These monthly supporters help cover the many costs it takes to plan, produce, and distribute Know the Truth on the radio and the internet. Their faithful monthly gifts help reach men and women all over the country and world with God's Word at no cost to them. Truth Ambassadors also receive exclusive resources from Pastor Philip, including a special welcome package, a monthly newsletter just for them, and a copy of each monthly resource. This month, our resource is a book by Tim Challies titled Seasons of Sorrow, The Pain of Loss and the Comfort of God. Whether it's you or a friend, this book is for anyone who has loved and lost and could use some encouragement. Learn how God is still sovereign over loss, how to pass through times of grief while keeping your faith, and how biblical doctrine can work itself out even in life's most difficult situations. And when your gift is $40 or more, you'll also receive the Psalms of Trust Personal Devotional Booklet, a helpful companion resource for our current series. So call 888-644-8811 or give online at ktt.org. You can also write to us, address an envelope to Know the Truth, Post Office Box 30250, Anaheim Hills, California, 92809. One more thing. If you'd like to stay up to date on all things Know the Truth and receive encouraging posts on your social media feed, be sure to connect with us. Just search for Know the Truth with Philip DeCourcy on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. I'm Wayne Shepherd. Join us again next time for more convicting and encouraging Bible teaching from Philip DeCourcy. That will be next time right here on Know the Truth. Today's program was produced and sponsored by Know the Truth Incorporated. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free."